Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
At the truck shows, out there on the open road, even in the driveway at his house. Johnny keeps it spit shine, shining on it all the time. He wants it looking good when he goes out. But why do people laugh at him and shake their head when he pulls in the parking lot? He's just another trucker man, trying his best to fit right in, but fit or not. He drives a old purple Peterbilt and he don't care how people feel about it. Cause that old purple Peterbilt looks so good it makes him feel so proud of it.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Jay with Redneck and I's Radio coming in. We are here live every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733 and we appreciate everybody joining us here tonight. Don't forget to go over and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that and sharing those videos. And we've been having great success with that. We can't thank everybody enough for that. Here, we're just going to spend the next couple hours talking about what's going on in the trucking world out there today. One of the things I wanted to talk about was there was a little round table that was going on in, Washington, D.C. or whatever. It had the Secretary of Labor, Secretary of Transportation, and OIDA got to sit in on it with ATA as well. So they've caught some attention with that, and so we'll talk about that a little bit. A lot of stuff going on in with truck accidents. More illegals were found inside of a big truck, inside of the trailer, down on the border. We'll dive into that a little bit. And, of course, you know, just messing around, taking your calls and seeing what's going on out there. Don't forget to check out our sponsors. We got great sponsors out there. One of the great sponsors of this program at Redneck and I's, Redneck and I's Radio, is Load to Ride Transportation. That's LTR Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. You can, like I said, if you're looking for a change or just want to check them out, they've got like nationwide stuff. Like they've got the customers, long haul. They got some pretty cool trucks, you know, decent logo, great trailers, and from the website here, everything looks really good. They got, you know, they cover everything, all the expedited stuff, warehousing, temperature protection, hazmat, special handling, all that kind of good stuff. So if you're a trucker out there looking for a good outfit, LTR Transportation is one of those. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give a call at 720-277-0030. So let's hammer down and get through it and have a little fun out here tonight. So everybody, like I said, 516-387-1733. Don't forget to call in. Redneck and I's Radio. Here we go.
Purple. Hey, Johnny, where'd you get that purple Peterbilt at? It takes a real man to have the guts to drive a purple truck like that. Hey, don't make fun of that purple truck. Just look at them lime green ones. I wouldn't make fun of that banana looking yellow truck over there. But what about that baby blue?
On the farm, somebody with a truck and two strong arms, not scared of dirt and willing to work till the sun goes down. So I pulled up and said, I'm your man, I can start right now. And we shook hands. He said, the fence needs fixing, the peaches need picking, and the cows need bringing round. I was hauling hay, I was feeding
looking back now, I'm sure glad I didn't. Cause just when I thought it couldn't get no hotter, I caught a glimpse of the farmer's daughter. She was just getting home from Panama City. She was all tanned up and my kind of pretty. When her eyes met mine, I was thinking that I sure love my job. As the days got shorter, our talks got longer. The kisses got sweeter and the feelings got stronger. So we'd hop in the truck and get all tangled up every chance we got. We were down by the river all night long. When the sun came up, I was making her home and dragging my butt to work. With the smell of her perfume on my shirt, I'd be on the tractor, she'd be on my mind. With that sun beating down on his back of mine, and just when I thought it couldn't get no hotter, I fell in love with the farmer's daughter. We got married last spring. Oh, and there ain't no better life for me. I'm still hauling hay and feeding the hogs, and that summer sun's got me sweating like a dog. So I cool off in the creek, and she brings me out a glass of sweet iced tea. Now I'm on the tractor, she's on my mind, and I can't wait till it's quitting time. And just when I think it can't get no hotter, I come home to the farmer's daughter. Yeah. The farmer's daughter.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. And like I said, don't forget, we're live here every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733 just to listen in. Or if you want to be a part of the conversation, just hit 1. We'll get you right in here. And don't forget to go check out some of our great sponsors. You know, one of the great sponsors we got, everybody knows who they are because it's DPF Regeneration. DPF Regeneration has been with us from the get-go. They've been a great supporter of Redneck and Eyes ever since we've kind of just became about. And if you guys don't know about DPA for regeneration, you know, they're the ones that can get you the right kind of parts for all of your, you know, regen systems or EGR coolers, catalyst mufflers, SCR units, and they've got all the different types of diesel filters for the particulate filters for all the different size diesel engines. And you can check them out at dpfregeneration.com or give them a call at 800-634-3010. And like I said, don't forget to tell them that you appreciate them for supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we appreciate them for sure. And just getting back into things going on out there, you know, I mean, every week on here, on this radio show, and of course all over YouTube, you hear it. It makes the news pretty much every week. It's driver shortage, and what's going on with that, and you know what's how it is. Well, you know what we all know out there is that OIDA, the Owner Operator Independent Driver Association, they don't agree with that assessment. And of course, on their Landline magazine, this July issue, they said, you know, the truth about the driver shortage, and then they had a little in parentheses that says, psh, hey, there isn't one. And they had a big article about diving into all that. Well, now they've got a pretty good article that came out, and it made the top search results for trucking news. And that rarely happens out of just, you know, because driver shortage, you know, takes the cake whenever it comes to all that. So when you see that this article here from Landline magazine over at landline.com, it says driver retention problem draws focus at trucking roundtable. And now instead of driver shortage, it's driver retention. And of course their big play is that the big companies, they just run the truck drivers off. And, you know, I don't think that's like, you know, what I say is that there's, it's not just black and white. It's not cut and dry. It's that simple. I think that truck drivers are just as much to blame as big companies when it comes to retention and what to expect out there, because, you know, the recruiters may lie to you, but again, when you're looking for a job and you need a job and you talk to a recruiter and he tells you everything's going to be peachy keen, you know, all you got to do is just go out there and ask other truck drivers and they'll tell you the truth. You know, even if some of them, like I remember years back, there were a lot of drivers that were being paid to be recruiters. And I disagreed with them a lot because they would talk up the company, whichever company they worked for, they would just talk about how they were the best in the world and all this. And you'll never go wrong and you'll always make money and all that. And I don't agree with that even with the best company. I mean, you are going to get screwed over. You're going to get stuck out there on the road somewhere. You know, the truck's going to break down. Freight's going to run out. You know, you're going to get somewhere where you can't get a load picked up until the next day or even, you know, through the weekend or whatever. That kind of stuff happens. It's part of trucking. So for people to promise you stuff and then drivers get upset with that, well, you know, I can't get lay blame on anybody for you thinking that doesn't happen. You know, all you got to do is ask. You know, even back in the day before there was the internet and Facebook and all that, I mean, all you had to do is walk into a truck stop and sit down and ask some questions, and you'll find out the truth. You know, if you're thinking about becoming a truck driver, go down to find a truck stop where you live and just, you know, there's a lounge or even there's a restaurant and just ask questions and try to take notes, because a lot of it's going to start running together. And that's what I've always told new truck drivers. But this article here, what it boils down to is that it says driver retention, and I always thought that it was unique because what they're focusing on how the big carriers treat the drivers. Now, it says, after years of persistence from Owner-Operator Independent Driver Association, the issue of driver retention took center stage in front of leaders from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the U.S. Department of Labor. On Thursday, July 8th, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, we know Mayor Pete, right, ran for president, and he wants to spend all kinds of money, all that kind of good stuff. And then, of course, we got Labor Secretary Marty Walsh. I don't know who that is, but he's Labor Secretary now. And the FMCSA's Acting Administrator, Mira Joshi, hosted a roundtable discussion with trucking industry stakeholders, including OIDA President Todd Spencer, to discuss driver recruitment and retention. I would like to know who all else was present at this. Was it and then we might find out later. It might have been a conference call or something. But it says, although the American Trucking Association has long framed the issue of driver shortage problem, much of the roundtable discussion focused on large turnover rates of large fleets. For decades, OIDA has argued that the issue hasn't been an inability to hire long-haul truckers, but rather an inability to keep them around because of low pay and poor working conditions. As part of the discussion, FMCSA noted that the turnover rates for large, long-haul carriers are more than 90% and about 72% for small carriers. And see, 72%, that's still high. Driver retention is really fundamental to our supply chain, residually from job stability to overall roadway safety, Joshi said. I'm grateful to the millions of men and women who transport over 70% of our nation's freight across the country on a daily basis. This event is really about their workplace and their work conditions. That was the FMCSA administrator who said that. It says leaky bucket. I don't know what that means. It says Buttigieg said it doesn't matter how many people the industry recruits to be truck drivers if the industry is set up in a way that a majority of them will want to leave. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, it's like all the other jobs out there, the jobs that are like, you know, hard, maybe risky, or they don't pay very well, or they're just crap. You know, it's like, I think that truck driving is a hard job because you'll be away from your family, and especially long haul. And then of course you got team operations where it's stressful. I think that kind of stuff like that, it's always going to be that way. And it takes a special kind of person, a special kind of people to do that job. So I think that that's part of it. Now, I would also argue that being that it is a hard job and it takes a special kind of person to do that job, those jobs probably should pay pretty good. So that's what it is too. I think Buttigieg keeps on saying here, it says, it strikes me that another way to think of it is something of a leaky bucket, that no matter how many people we pour into the industry for a moment, it's not going to do as much good unless the jobs are reliable enough, secure enough, and stable enough that people want to remain within the industry. Buttigieg said that, and he says, he keeps on saying, he says, and hopefully also stay with an individual employer long enough to see some of the safety gains that we know correlate not only with the time behind the wheel, but time in a given organization. And that's true too, because I mean, we all love it when, I think trucking companies focus on loyalty, staying with the carrier, staying with them a long time. And you see how the pay packages increase, you get raises, you get more time off, all that kind of stuff. It's the way it's set up, especially the bigger companies. And, if that's something, I'll just be honest with you, a lot of truck drivers don't think of it in that way. They don't think of it as, you know, I work for them 5 years, I'll start making money. It's like, I want money now, you know. A lot of times you got to be with a company 10 years before you start seeing some real money, or it's not only the money. It's that if you're with a company long enough, not only do you start making more money, but you get the pick of the runs. You get to do, you know, you can pick what you want to do. You can take the easy job, leave the crap job to the new guys, that kind of thing. So that's one of the things I think truck drivers have a hard time focusing on, and less and less of them are focusing on that. See, as the industry stakeholders include representatives from such groups as OIDA, ATA, and the Teamsters, as well as safety advocates and academic experts. Yeah, safety advocates. Well, you mean like those people that represent those organizations that want to shut us down and let us only drive 6 to 8 hours a day, or force us to, like, you know, only drive 50 hours a week instead of 70. Those kind of safety organizations. Doesn't list them here, so we'll find out. So as much of the discussion focused on the idea that better pay and working conditions would keep more drivers around and ultimately increase highway safety. It says pay and working conditions. It says, let's see who says this. This is Todd Spencer speaking. He says, trucking is a tough life, said Spencer, who started his career as a trucker and still holds a commercial driver's license. It demands the best and it requires the best. As we learned during the pandemic, trucking is an essential industry, but it is every single day. It's always essential. And the issues now with retention, every employer in the country has it right now. The secret is pay, benefits, and working conditions. He's not wrong there. That's the secret. I think working conditions, I think trusting a driver's judgment a lot, that's always an issue. You know, I mean, a lot of times drivers burn their trust. A lot of times drivers, they don't feel that they're trusted enough. You know, I think that comes with time in too. You're not going to just go work for a company and two days or 2 weeks into it, they're going to trust everything you say. You got to build that trust. So I would say to truck drivers, if you want to be trusted more, stick with carriers. Stick with the carrier. Find the carrier that you can work with and build their trust. That's what I'll say. It says, currently truck drivers' pay and working conditions aren't great, Spencer said. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average salary of a truck driver was $47,130 in 2020. While that is well above the U.S. median personal income of $35,977, it seems like much less when you consider the amount of hours truckers work and that they often do so without being able to return home for weeks at a time. Says, I should point out that for a truck driver, this is not a 40-hour work week, Spencer said. It's generally 60, 70, 80 hours and sometimes more of actual work. And then there's more time that goes along with it. So yeah, it's a very, very demanding job. And realistically, the economic rewards haven't kept up for the last 40 years since our industry was deregulated. And you know, it seems like having them catch up is a very, very elusive goal. Your pay is determined by what you can be replaced for. And right now, that's not a lot. That's not all that much money. So when he says this kind of stuff, when he says like that, you know, it's not a 40-hour week week. It's not a 40-hour work week. It is generally 60, 70, 80. The scary part about that is what these politicians and bureaucrats read into that is that we'll just make it a 40-hour work week. We'll demand that it is a 40-hour work week. We'll require, it's a regulation that you cannot work more than 40 hours because that's what these safety advocates want. The problem is that the pay will go down because you know a carrier is not going to pay you the amount of money that you think you deserve by only working 40 hours a week. That's just not how it's going to be, you know. I remember one time I had a conversation with somebody and they were like, you know, the truth of the matter is that milk should cost $15 a gallon because you need to pay to have it shipped. Mayonnaise should cost $10 a jar because of the price it costs to ship it, but nobody's going to pay that. So you're never going to see that kind of wage increase for truck drivers because people aren't just going to, they're just not going to pay it. And that's why you see, I mean, I don't know if people know it out there, but trucking companies, they really don't make that high of a profit margin. They don't. So that kind of thing is, you know, it's hard to get out of that with the 40 hour work week. You know, you spell that out for them. And then those bureaucrats, they'll just say, well, we'll just make it a 40 hour work week. We'll just require it, or we'll change the rules and force them to pay overtime or, you know, all that. And that's what OIDA wants. They want, you know, Teamsters, they all want that. They want companies to be forced to pay you to like detention time or, you know, any kind of extra time you were out on the road. They want the government to force these companies to pay that. And I don't like that. I don't like companies being forced to, you know, if a good company has good customers and treats their drivers right, they're going to come up with solutions. They're going to pay their drivers well. And as long as you let it be flexible, the good companies are going to come out on top. When you force it all, then no company is better than the other. It says, Steve Viskelly, a professor of sociology at the University of Pennsylvania and author of The Big Rig, Trucking and the Decline of the American Dream, said the solution is clear. We need to improve the quality of existing trucking jobs. He also says we have to ensure that all driver time is counted and well compensated, and then that drivers are properly classified in the end. What we need to do is promote the retention of experienced safe drivers. Again, that right there, the solution is easy. We need to improve the quality of existing trucking jobs. Duh. You know, I mean, I don't need a college degree to figure that out. It says we have to ensure that all driver time is counted and well compensated. Okay. What are you going to do? You see, you're going to write a law and you're going to make things required. And then next thing you know, it's not going to be what we wanted. It's not going to be what the driver wanted. And then if you're a go-getter, if you're one of those drivers that bust ass and makes more money than the other drivers because you bust ass, well, guess what? Your busting ass don't mean anything anymore. Just like having a union job. when everybody's required to be paid the same in the same form, in the same manner. So it says the largest problem involves entry-level trucking jobs where the pay is often the lowest and the conditions are the worst, Vaselli said. Our current driver pipeline is organized backward, he said. It throws workers into the deep end with almost no support. They start out in schools and with little investment in their long-term success, and then most of them can only get to the toughest jobs working over the road for weeks or months at a time without the system's promise free training, but then lock workers into a year of working 80 or more hours per week, often for minimum wage or less. Well, yeah, these companies, what they do, well, just like we said before, if you're a driver that's been with a carrier for a longer period of time, then what you do is you start being trusted and you start being given, preferred treatment. And that means you're going to take the easier runs. If you had a choice, I'm going to take the shorter runs, the more paying runs, and give all the crap to the rookies. Well, and they're saying that's a problem. Now, what's going to happen? Well, they're going to write a rule saying that the crap jobs that the rookies can't do those jobs. I mean, then what, you know? So then in order to get the 10-year vet driver to take those crap jobs, you're going to have to pay them more to take the crap jobs. so then, okay, pay goes up, but then what, you know? To me, that would just mean that the entry-level pay would have to go down. Because if a new driver comes in, he's already making a low rate, and then now you're going to like require that he take the easier runs because he's not supposed to be able to handle the tougher runs. Well, then, you know, that pay that you're paying that driver is going to have to go to the 10-year vet driver so that the 10-year vet driver will handle the crap runs. It says the U.S. Department of Transportation and the FMCSA said it will continue to engage regularly with industry stakeholders to address driver retention and other issues in the trucking industry. So there's certainly more work to do, and that will be detailed, complex, painstaking, Josie said. I'm not going to say that there's a magic wand. There certainly isn't. Somebody would have waved it by now. I guess this is just them talking. It says, but we are committed to do that work regardless of the difficult and challenging as it is. And there you go. That's it. So, yeah, no solutions. Just bureaucrats blowing smoke, you know. So, but again, I mean, I like where they're heading with bringing the problem of retention with working conditions, you know, proper equipment and facilities. I just think facilities. I think everybody knows. I think all the truckers out there can agree that when you send drivers to these shippers and they don't let you use the bathroom or you're locked in a cage so that they can load you and all that stuff, you know, all that crap's got to stop. You know, it's just got to stop. I think that they're probably going to be forced to have to create some type of driver's lounges in the areas where they have to wait like that. You know, so what? I got to pay $1.50 for a Dr. Pepper or, you know, $2 for a bag of chips in a waiting room that I have to wait in. I mean, that's fine as long as I have a waiting room where there's a clean restroom, maybe even a place where I can, you know, plug in my phone and charge or get some good internet or something like that. Just a place, you know, a good safe haven, call it what you will, for drivers to be able to relax while they're waiting. And that's one of the issues. But that's the kind of thing that I think is important with that. But, you know, hey, tell me what you think. So, like I said, we'll get this out there to everybody and check it out. And everybody online can see it. And we'll share the article and everything. But yeah, tell them what you think. You think driver retention isn't really that big of a deal? Drivers need to suck it up? Or do you want the laws to change? You want laws to mandate that the truckers or that the companies take care of the truckers. You want it mandated. So let me know. But yeah, we're just kicking back here. Like I said, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find all those links over on redneckandeyes.com. That's our website. And we're just trucking back here. So, yeah, keep calling in, 516-387-1733. Let's see. There we go. Yeah, like I said, check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you we'll keep on checking things out and just call in, 516-387-1733. And I'm Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. Here we go.
I'd ride them boats. I got a jingle in my jeans, sore places in between, and I'm leaving old Salt Lake with a push and a pull. 10-4, buddy, come on back, a horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville, chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Turn up that radio. Don't want to think about a rodeo. Don't want to think about a roundup up in old Cheyenne. Well, it's a crazy circuit. Oh, but still you work it. Turn down that sound, boys. Let's get up and check the scan. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville, chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Bandana hanging on the mirror, still wet from ear to ear. Well, I guess it's true then what the wise men say. When you ride your last one, well, make sure he's the best one. Jump while he's moving, tip your hat, boys, and walk away. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville, chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville, chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple. DPF Regeneration.
Making a living the old hard way, taking and giving my day by day. I see snow and rain and a bright sunshine. Dead in the line. Might go sell me purple flowers. They ain't got much to
Japanese toy, the trucker's joy, and everybody calls CD. Yeah, Citizen Band keeps you up to date with fender benders and Tijuana, Texas, and all them bears out there flip-flop.
Well, what's going on out there, truckers? Hey, this is it, Redneck and I's Radio. We're live every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. If you just want to listen in or if you want to be part of the conversation, just hit one, and we're always happy to get you on. So, you know, we were talking about how they had a little round table with the Secretary of Transportation, Secretary of Labor. Looks like they said ATA was there and Teamsters and other safety advocate groups and stuff like that. So, you know, we covered that a little bit. That was really interesting. There was also a little bit of news going on as far as, like, you know, we see it all the time. There's accidents and there's different things going on out there with truckers getting involved in things. You know, there was a trucker found a deceased person out on the road and stayed with them before until the police arrived. So that was kind of a cool thing for truckers doing. You know, that's what truckers do, is they take care of things out there. They always try to take care of people out there on the road. So this one here was funny. This was from the Dakota Free Press. It says governor suspends federal trucking rules, which I didn't think the governors could do that with the federal, but I guess it says governor suspends federal trucking rules. Drivers no longer need licenses, drug tests, or functional trucks. Says Kristi Noem interrupted the presidential campaign to do a little governing on Saturday, but interestingly, she used it to engage in a strange assertion of state authority over federal law. It says Executive Order 2021-10-10 claims that South Dakota faces extremely low inventories and outages of gasoline, diesel, jet fuel, and ethyl alcohol. Strange. Every gas station I've stopped in for the last few days let me fill my tank for a regular price. But then I haven't driven West River lately, where Noem says the shortage is most prominent. Jet fuel inventories are at or above a five-year average, but delivery systems are having trouble snapping back from the depths of the pandemic. To keep up with the recovering demand to address this kinky supply chain, Governor Noem has declared a state of emergency and says that truckers hauling petroleum products in South Dakota are not subject to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration regulations codified in 49 CFR parts 390 to 399. Petroleum trucks still have to have licenses and insurance and follow rules on size, weight, and drug alcohol use. But according to Noem's press release summary, drivers do not have to follow limits on their hours of service. Well, that's what it is. They're just, drivers can drive, you know, all they want. It says, I would love to hear from my legally astute readers whether a state can declare an emergency and chuck federal laws and regulations out the window. But assuming Governor Noem has such emergency, her order appears to nix a lot more than drive time limits. Of course, they dive into it and it says, I'm not even a third of the way through the federal rules Noem just suspended, but I'm already can see that at least until August 16th, Noem has overturned all sorts of safety rules that far from inhibiting the delivery of fuel ensure that the gasoline and diesel get to their destination safely along with everyone else in the highway. Her effort to look like she's taking swift action shows she actually didn't take the time to read the rules and craft a narrowly targeted solution to the problem she alleges exists. So what I'll say is that the governor can suspend the rules for any freight that is moving intrastate, which means that if it's picked up in the state and delivers in the state, it's under state authority. Federal regulations do not control the freight being hauled within the state. Now, if the gasoline is picked up in Illinois or in Iowa or in Minnesota or Nebraska and hauled into the state of South Dakota, then it falls under federal jurisdiction. And I don't think the governor can just suspend those rules. The DOT, the Department of Transportation for the United States, the U.S. DOT would have to issue a declaration to suspend those rules. Whenever a hurricane would hit, you would see that. You would see the FMCSA and the DOT release rules to suspend the hours of service. They would have like a press release where they would suspend the hours of service so that trucks needing the supplies needed can get down there as soon as they can. They did that with the pandemic. Any drivers that were, I mean, basically they suspended for anybody, but if you were hauling groceries or any kind of medical supplies, they suspended the hours of service. So I don't think that the executive order from the governor would take care of every single truck traveling in the state of South Dakota, but what it would cover is anything that's being picked up in the state of South Dakota and delivered in the state of South Dakota. So as long as the state, the freight stays in state, then the governor can control that stuff. And that's what I'll take from that. That's cool. I mean, it says Dakota Free Press. I don't know if that's a newspaper or if it's just a website. It doesn't say. A lot of people replied. It says 10 comments. It said jet fuel distribution shortage, really? Fuel distribution shortage, really? Noem should have canceled the Ellsworth U.S. Air Force bomber exercise last week. It says grab your popcorn when the state hag rushes to defend truckers busted for safety violations by the feds. Maybe the feds will withhold federal transportation. See, a lot of people, they just don't know. There's no federal employee. There's no employees in South Dakota that work for the federal government. All of the people that are like pulling truck drivers over or checking them at weigh stations, they all work for the state. They're all state highway patrol, state troopers. So they're the ones enforcing the federal law. So, I mean, maybe that because the governor is in control of the state police, that the governor can control that kind of stuff. I mean, really. I mean, it's all about enforcement, right? So, I mean, she can tell them don't enforce it and they won't, or they don't, or, it all depends on who's on her side, it says, it is very strange indeed Corey because there is no fuel shortage West River. I live in Spearfish, and I've had no problem filling my car. So, I mean, you know, they say there's no issue. I don't know why. I mean, if there's no issue, then why is there an emergency? Who's under the emergency? Maybe the trucking companies were like, we just don't want to follow rules. So let me help. You know, let me free me up. Let me do whatever I want. So, yeah, it's weird. But yeah, I'll share this out here so that we can get some truckers responding to it. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. But yeah, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find the links to all that in our Facebook page and Twitter and all that on redneckandeyes.com. We got a company store over there where we got t-shirts and hats and cool stuff, stickers and all that for the side of the truck, you know, either the window or they're even good enough to go like on the cab somewhere on your cab extender or something like that. And they're all available online on there as well. There we are. So yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, we got a pretty cool Facebook page. That's all pretty cool stuff. You can also check us out on Twitter and Instagram. We do that from time to time. You know, if anybody doesn't already know, what we do is we go to the truck shows. We've been going to for the past 8 years, except for, of course, 2020 when the show got canceled. And then this year the show got canceled. But it's the Louisville Truck Show, Matt's Mid-America Trucking Show. What we would do is we would get to the parking lot there at the, I don't know what it's called now. It's the University of Louisville Cardinal Stadium, Papa John's parking lot. It used to be called Papa John's Stadium. I don't know if they changed the name because they got woke and Papa John's pissed them off or whatever. But anyway, you can go over there. What happens is that everybody at the parking lot will get to the truck. To the truck show, and they would park in the parking lot. Well, if you're a truck driver and you park in the parking lot, you're pretty well stuck. There's no way to get in and out and do whatever you need to do and all that. So what we ended up doing, and a lot of people do it. A lot of people, different organizations would do it. And we just decided what we were going to do is that we were just going to create like a little tent where everybody can come out and hang out and we'd even have some food to eat and all that. And what happened was is that before we were doing there, people would set up, you know, like food trucks or like a little area where they would cook food for people. But it was weird because, you know, we only take donations. Oh, okay. You know, you're not charging me anything for it. No, we just want donations. Oh, okay. That's great. And they said, all right, well, I'll have a hamburger then. Okay. Well, just donate $5 and I'll give you a hamburger. Well, I thought you weren't charging me anything. Well, you need to donate kind of thing. And we thought that was weird. So we said, you know what, we're not going to do that. We're going to just let people eat. And, you know, a lot of times people come in and they'll fill their plate two or three times and donate $5. One guy will come in and, you know, get a piece of chicken or one hamburger and throw in $20, $40. So, you know, we take the good with the bad with that kind of thing. And what we've done is we've reached out to sponsors to try to say, help us out, you know, with the cost of all that stuff. And so far it's been really great. And what we've done, we've got on YouTube and started, you know, sharing our ideas and our opinions of how the world is and everything. And then we also just start trying to make the world a better place, you know, especially truck driving, and trying to just create that brotherhood that we had once before, you know, out there where you could, where you can do things like that, you know, and create different stuff for, you know, truckers, like sharing information and all that. And that's what we try to do. And so far it's been working out pretty well. We're really, really happy. The computer's all messing with me here. So, but anyway, I think we'll step away and take a little break here and come right back with everything going on out there. We appreciate everything, everybody having a great time. But you know, and like I said, don't forget to check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Give us a call here, 516-387-1733. We're always live here every Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time. And you can call in, or if you want to be part of the conversation, just hit 1. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
Rubber that you see, we're burned off this rick by the likes of me. They'll rot along the highways in this land. I'm going to sign my name in that piece of smoke and let the ones that come along behind the show beat this face on the set the time they can. Oh, I'm looking at the world through a windshield, watching it fly by me on the right. I got a sweet little thing I'm alone to see in Memphis.
I'm down around Dallas and rolling on south. Well, I pushed this rig through sleet and rain, and I've driven through the rough terrain of the Rockies to the socks of old L.A. All down that old Pacific shore, swing north and run for Baltimore, somewhere about 2,000 miles away. Oh, I'm looking at the world through a windshield, watching it fly by me on the right. I got a sweet little thing that I'm alone to see in Nashville. I'm down around Dallas and rolling on south. Yeah, I'm down around Dallas and rolling on south.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're going to regret because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made a evil hit, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granted, if you don't fight, no child knows." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, when you don't fight, no child knows."
hypnotizing by dotted lines. I got 100 miles to make it home, but every digit on the dash is slow to change. And the night is as dark as the coffee running through my veins. In this crazy world, I'm thankful every time I make it home. And give credit to the man above for another day. And I'll be glad when I see that crack of dawn, cause the night is as dark as the coffee running through my veins. And the night is as dark as the coffee running through my veins.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed, Redneck and I's Radio. We're live here every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And you can always check us out at redneckandi's.com. We got links to our YouTube channel where we got videos about truck driving and life on the road. We put this podcast out on the YouTube. We've got some videos directed toward the four-wheelers on trying to teach them more about how to drive around big trucks. And we're really proud of those. Those are pretty cool. So, like I said, you can check out our YouTube channel and go subscribe to there. We really appreciate it. We're trying to build our subscriptions up on that, you know, and then viewership and everything. And that way, you know, hey, we always ask for donations. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, educational nonprofit, and we gladly accept donations from anyone that's willing to donate. But if you are looking for ways to help out, just watch our videos, share our videos, get our videos watched so that, you know, maybe even we can start maybe even generating some revenue from watching those videos from YouTube. So that's the goal. And we would love to have that be part of how we get funding for our truck show events. And that's the main goal. Or, you know, keep things going where we can, you know, get you better quality for the truck shows or for the radio show and all that kinds of stuff, you know. We thank the sponsors. It's a big expense to, you know, get content out to everybody. So we appreciate sponsors for helping us out. And, you know, one of the great sponsors we have, I don't know if you guys have heard about them yet, and they've been all over the place here in the last year or two, and that's Trucker Tools. And they're at truckertools.com. It's the Trucker Tools app. They have been a big part of how the industry acts online when they have an app that you can go on and you download the app and you use it to, like, you know, you can book freight, you can track freight, and you can also find out, like, you know, they've got routing for fuel stops and for maintenance. They've even got one little button on there that just finds Walmarts, you know, so I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, you can check them out. Like I said, go to your app store, download their app, and you may not use all the features, and that's fine, but the ones you do use, you know, let them know how they're going, and they always like trying to make changes and update them to help out the drivers the best. So they're always eager to help, and you can always comment on there and let them know. And of course, we appreciate it if you let them know that you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Nice, because we appreciate them doing that. And so we're just rocking on here, and you know, you call in 516-387-1733 and listen along. If you want to be part of the conversation, just hit one, and we'll get you on here. Like I said, we were talking about the round table that they had with Department of Transportation, FMCSA, with OIDA and Teamsters and all that stuff like that. And that was interesting. We were also talking about how the governor was suspending the DOT rules. The people, the reporters, didn't think that was legal. So what do you think? You think that the governor has the right to suspend the hours of service for all trucks traveling in the state of South Dakota? My opinion was that as long as the freight's picking up and delivering, then, you know, that freight falls under jurisdiction of the state. They also, what I noticed was that it was funny because people were commenting on it and they thought that there would be feds out in on the highways shutting down trucks when the governor said don't do it. But that's not right, because as truck drivers, we know that there aren't any federal employees out there inspecting trucks. The people that inspect the trucks at the weigh stations and out on the highway, they're just the state police or the highway patrol, state troopers, that kind of stuff. So we know that that's not going to happen. So, like I said, what do you think? What should the governor have done better? Maybe according to the statement, they just want they say there's a fuel shortage. So all tanker trucks hauling fuel, whether it be diesel fuel, jet fuel, gasoline, stuff like that, they can haul it and go over the hours of service. And what my opinion is, I'll tell all truck drivers, I don't care if there's a law saying that you're allowed to, don't, you know, because in my opinion, as if the law is good enough to where you can suspend the rules whenever you deem it necessary, well, then the law has no impact or necessary for safety. That's not what it's about. It's about control, because then they can say, well, then, you know, like now they can suspend it and then say, you can do whatever you want. And, you know, if it's about safety, then it never should be suspended. So I tell truck drivers all the time, don't, you know, it doesn't matter what the rule is. Don't drive when you're tired. And then in these circumstances where they want you to break the rules because they say there's some kind of emergency, well, then, you know, even more so, don't break the rules, because they just need to understand that if you expect us to break the rules now, why not 2 days ago? You know, why not a month from now? It's just silly. So yeah, we'll just keep on rocking with that and see what's going on with there. But in other news, there was, you know, there's just accidents that happen. We don't really talk about them that much. Sometimes we get some details that involve, like, we know that there was a strap involved. We know that there was, you know, certain things going wrong that we can identify. But a lot of times there's just not enough information on these articles where, you know, it says here, I-85 construction zone death trap. Called into question after triple fatality pileup involving big rig. South Carolina DOT blames trucker. And, I mean, that's it. And if you go in and read the article, I mean, that's really, I don't know. I mean, there is a news report here. Let's see what it says. Nothing. It says it's all it is a it's a video like from the helicopter, and there's nobody talking, but it's like a 19 minute video. But I was waiting to see if anybody's going to start talking. Looks like this was just as it happened. So yeah, there's nothing going on here. They don't know information or anything like that. But the article, I mean, all it does is it says a coroner in South Carolina has criticized state transportation officials over the safety of the construction zone following an 8-vehicle pileup crash that killed 3 people on Thursday. But the South Carolina Department of Transportation responded by calling out a truck driver for using the wrong lane. See, here you go. Oh, crap. Yes, what it looks like to me, according to the picture on here, is they've got like an HOV lane in the middle, maybe, and the truck is in that lane. Yeah, that's what it looks like. And then he just slammed right into a bunch of cars and put one of them up over the rail into the other traffic. So it may be that the driver was in the wrong lane, but I mean, let's see what happens. It says the crash occurred shortly before 3 p.m. in the southbound lanes of I-85 in Gaffney, South Carolina. The crash happened in one of the southbound single-lane chutes used in I-85 as part of a construction project to widen the interstate. See, it's not even HOV. They just created a separate lane because of the construction. It says local outlet WYFF reports that a semi-truck rear-ended several vehicles, causing a chain reaction crash that involved 8 vehicles and sent 3 vehicles into the northbound lane. Authorities said that the 3 people traveling in a van died as a result of the crash. Newman McElroy, 58, and Ruth Ann McElroy, 60, passed away at the scene. Karen Marie Gogan, 60, was transported to a hospital but succumbed to her injuries. 6 other people were taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Says Cherokee County Coroner Dennis Fowler vehemently called out the single-lane chutes for being unsafe for drivers. In the news release, Fowler said these chutes should be called death traps, while state officials have endorsed them at 2 separate public meetings in Gaffney. I disagree with their being safe for motorists. It seems none of those officials are around to ride with me to knock on the doors of the next of kin to deliver the message that the loved one has been killed in the maze of concrete. Something must be done immediately. We cannot lose any other lives at a sacrifice of road project. The South Carolina Department of Transportation issued the following statement on Thursday, fatal crash, indicting that the truck driver was in the lane to be used by passenger vehicles only. Says South Carolina DOT is working with the law enforcement officials to gain better understanding of the circumstances that led to the tragic crash in Interstate 85 construction project. The project has been plagued by crashes throughout the work zone, including crashes like the one that involved tractor trailers that were traveling in the lanes designated for passenger vehicles only. We will continue our effort with law enforcement and local first responders to identify and implement additional measures designed to get motorists to slow down, pay attention, and stay in the proper lanes. I'd like to see a picture. What could have been if somebody had a picture of like the signage out there to identify whether or not the truck should be in that lane or not, or, you know, things like that. Said the crash remains under investigation. I mean, again, like I said, this is the typical, there's just limited information we don't have. And I don't, you know, yeah, I agree. The truck driver probably shouldn't have been in that lane only if there was plenty of signs. But again, you know, I mean, if you want trucks to stay out of something, you know what you do? You build like a low hanging deal, like a low bridge or something to force them out of that lane, to stay out of that lane, you know. You need flashing lights. I'm going to tell you, truck drivers, we said it before on here before, truck drivers are their own worst enemy. They'll get themselves in these predicaments where you just, you know, it makes you feel like all truckers are bad, but it's what it is. It is what it is. is what we say around here on Redneck and I's a lot, is it is what it is that, you know, truckers get themselves into predicaments where they shouldn't be and create these scenarios. And I mean, I hate to tell the DOT and the construction people and all that, the people that created these lanes, you know, you would think sitting there, you would think, you know, hey, it's common sense. You know, this, that they should be able to see that and they should be able to stay out of that lane. They shouldn't be in that lane. Why would they be in that lane? We've got signs up. Doesn't matter. Okay. You're dealing with the general public. Doesn't even matter. You want to hold the big trucks to the higher standard, then you got to create harder rules because, you know, it may be truck driving is a hard job, but it's not easy to get certified as a truck, or it's not hard to get certified as a truck driver. You can get a CDL. It's easy. Go to a school, you know, they'll teach you, you know, we've always made the complaint about getting a CDL is not that hard. So you think, you know, these truck drivers should know better. Well, you know, regular people should know better too, but they don't. So that's what it all boils down to. I'd like to know more information about that. But I think, you know, what do y'all think? Because, you know, I think they could have been, could have been in the right lane to begin with. But again, if the signs weren't clear or if there was no signs at all, I know that they're probably, what it looks like is that the lane is like the left lane and the other two lanes were on, you know, on the right side. So if you had a sign, a white sign that's designated for truck drivers only, and it just says no trucks left lane, not everybody follows those signs. Those are just information signs directed toward big trucks, and you say no trucks in left lane. If you're not enforcing that rule, then they're not going to abide by that rule. And that's just what it boils down to. California enforces the hell out of the lane restrictions. Nobody violates the lane restrictions in California. Texas, some places have lane restrictions on 35 and 20. They hardly ever get enforced. So guess what? The truck drivers will get in the left lane when they need to. In my opinion, there shouldn't be any kind of lane restrictions. Truck drivers should know better to, it's one of those things where truck drivers need to stay to the right, except when passing. That's how it needs to be. There shouldn't be any lane restrictions. So when you're passing vehicles, whether it be you're passing, you know, from if you're in the middle lane and you need to pass somebody in the middle lane, you get over to the left and pass them on the left. Pass them on the left. You know, when you pass somebody, you pass them on the left. It's the safest thing to do. Pass them on the left. And then you just get back over to the right because somebody's going to pass you. And when they pass you, they need to be passing you on the left. So that's how it needs to be. So you need to always stay to the right. Keep right, except when passing. That should be the rule. Guess what? That rule doesn't get enforced. So people don't abide by that rule. Oh, man, I can go all night about that. But then what happens is in this scenario, what happened was is that so the truck was in the left lane. Well, then the construction forces that one lane into its own system where there's concrete on one side and concrete on the other side. Truck drivers have seen this. It's been that way. It's been that way before in Kentucky, and maybe in parts of Ohio, where because, you know, you're limited on where the road can be, they just push you over into a separate road where you're stuck there. You can't change lanes because it's only one lane and there's concrete on one side of you and concrete on the other side of you. In that situation, if you're a truck driver and you're in one of those lanes where you can't go nowhere, guess what? You need to slow down. You need to be very aware. And, you know, that could be it. That it could have been that just the driver wasn't paying attention. It doesn't even matter what lane they were in. If they were in the other lane, they weren't paying attention. They were going to hit somebody. And so, and what it looks like to me from the picture is that the truck rear-ended and just threw those cars out of the way. One car ended up in the oncoming traffic lanes, like up over the concrete or rail or whatever that is that they're next to. Looks like it's like highway dividers is what it looks like. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's something else. I don't know, you know. that this kind of circumstance, you know, like I said, we don't talk about the accidents that much because there it is limited information. But this one I thought was interesting because they were like, well, we're just going to blame the trucker. And it's like, wait a minute, what? And it come to find out, you know, hey, could be some grounds here. But, you know, again, we just don't have all the information to make our opinions. So it doesn't even matter anyway, right? Doesn't matter what we think, right? That's what truckers get told. Doesn't matter what you think anyway. They're going to do whatever they want. But, yep, so we're just rocking along here. Like I said, this is Redneck and I's Radio, 516-387-1733. We're live every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern time. You can call in and be part of the conversation. Just hit one. Make sure you go check us out. It's at redneckandeyes.com. And don't forget to go subscribe to – hang on a second. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel and everything. We appreciate everybody doing that. It's been a great success for us out there. We got videos about, you know, we got videos about driving around big trucks. We got videos about becoming an owner operator. We got videos, a couple of videos about the power differential, power divider, stuff like that. You know, just trying to create that brotherhood of trucking where everybody can just kind of count on each other to give a helping hand to a truck driver in need if you need some help out there on the road, that kind of stuff. So just to kick with us here, we got about a little less than an hour left to go here, and we're just rocking along, talking about things. So stay with us. This is Redneck and I's Radio.
Hardly ever get a girl looking hell that away. smiling like the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel. In the picture on the billboard in the field, there's a big old bottle. Well, what a girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel. In the picture on the billboard in the field, there's a big old highway. I bet it wouldn't take her very long. This woman will pull a dirty trick and take her towel away. I slow, but give me down to 20. That's how many wrecks I see there every day. Call about the girl wearing nothing but a smile, a towel. In the picture on the billboard in the field, there's a big old highway. Oh, I love the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel. In the picture on the billboard in the field, there's a big old highway. I guess I'm getting bolder, cause I'd rather kiss and hold her than just keep looking at her every day. At 4:45, coffee drinking, eating time, Jimmy shimmied while I woke up, the artist in famous display. Of the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel. In the picture on the billboard in the field, there's a big old highway. Doggone that girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel. In the picture on the billboard in the field, there's a big old highway. Sleepy-headed painter said the girl wasn't real, and I'd better guess it. On the way, on the route 66 from the Gopher to Chicago, you'll find tiny pieces of my heart scattered devil with joy. Scattered by the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel. In the picture on the billboard in the field, there's a big old highway. I do 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 do. I do 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 do. Do 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 do. I do 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 do.
We'd like to send a shout out to all these great supporters. They hung in there with us through the beginning, and we couldn't have done it without them. GTS Enterprises, North Liverpool, Ohio. RM Transport of Chandler, out of Chandler, Arizona. CK Hunter Transportation, out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. Peter Ramsey Trucking, out of Mountain Grove, Missouri. Dixon Transportation, out of Sarcoxie, Missouri. Lifetime Nut Covers out of Crystal Lake, Iowa. Iowa 80 Truck Stop out of Walcott, Iowa. SoCal Flashlights out of Los Angeles, California. My Right Load at www.rightload.com. And DPF Regeneration at www.webakem.com. Thank all of you for your support and generosity to Redneck and I's.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you've got a Redneck and I's.
Jack and Diane, two American kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be a football star. Diane's debutante backseat of Jackie's car. Sucking on chili dog, outside taste freeze. Diane's sitting on Jackie's lap, got his hands between his knees. Jackie say, hey Diane, let's run off behind the shady trees. Dribble off those Bobby Brooks, let me do what I please. Say, oh yeah, life goes on, long after the thrill of living is
Going on, everybody. This is Ed with Redneck and Eyes, Redneck and Eyes Radio. It's 516-387-1733. If you just want to listen along, or if you want to be part of the conversation, just hit one. We're here live every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, and we appreciate everybody joining us and following along. Where we just talk about news and what's going out there on the road. Earlier, we were talking about the round table they had with the OIDA and the Teamsters and ATA and the FMCSA with the Department of Transportation Secretary and Department of Labor Secretary. And it was pretty interesting. You know, of course, nothing's going to get solved. Bureaucrats aren't going to really take care of anything because, you know, they don't want to solve problems, because if they solve problems, then they wouldn't be needed. So, you know, it's one of them things. But we also talked about there was an accident out in South Carolina. We thought that was unusual a little bit. And we're just keeping on following with what's going on out there. You know, there was another interesting article that that I was looking at. So this here was on CDL Life, and it says nearly 90 illegal immigrants discovered inside Texas-bound semi-truck. This happened at the Laredo, Texas border checkpoint. Almost 90 illegal immigrants were found inside a semi-truck at the Texas-Mexico border earlier this week. It says the incident happened at the Laredo, Texas border checkpoint, according to LMT Online. The semi-truck arrived at the Highway 83 checkpoint and went through a routine inspection, during which a canine officer alerted to the presence of possible contraband inside of the rig. It says the semi-truck was then referred to a secondary inspection, where nearly 90 people attempting to come into the country illegally were discovered. The individuals hailed from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. The truck driver was taken into custody. Said human smugglers continue to have no regard for the safety and health of the people they exploit, as they are treated like a commodity for profit, Border Patrol said in a statement. Laredo sector agents focus on the agency's enduring mission priorities of countering terrorism, combating transnational crime, securing the border, and facilitating lawful trade, protecting revenue, and facilitating lawful travel. And that's it. You know, so that's all we know. But we know it's happening, you know, and that kind of thing. And we just, all I have to do really is, this is something we really need to keep talking about, because I think that they're just going to keep doing it in Mexico, and they're just going to keep doing it in south of the border. But what we really find is when it happens and they make it, I mean, you can almost get to Laredo illegally, no problem. Okay. You can cross out in the middle of nowhere and then work your way toward Laredo. And once you're in Laredo, nobody's really checking, you know. It's when you're traveling through the desert area out there, the woods, whatever, when you're out there walking about, you know, you're going to get stopped and you're going to get asked. But once you're in the city, nobody cares, you know, you're good to go. So then what will happen is that the illegal aliens will get into the city, and then they'll find somebody that will put them in a truck and then haul them through the what we consider to be the border checkpoint, which is the check station. That's about 40 miles north of Laredo, maybe just 30, but it's another checkpoint to where everybody gets asked if you're a citizen and they want to know what you're hauling. And those checkpoints even catch stuff like that, drugs or people. And those, sometimes they often involve American truck drivers because, you know, once you're in the United States and you're legal and you can drive truck, then you're good to go. And they're not going to question that. So you go up to the border, you go up to that checkpoint, they ask you where you're from. You tell them that you're born or from the United States, especially if you're white, you know, or not Hispanic, then they're going to believe you, because all it can do is take you at your word. They don't require any paperwork. It's just, you know, if they ask and they don't believe you, then they can check. They ask you what you're hauling. You can tell them. And most of the time they just wave you on. So those areas, that's the ones that's troubling for truck drivers, because if this stuff starts happening at those checkpoints for us, that's going to create problems for all of us, because they're going to slow those checkpoints down. They're going to start inspecting everybody. And that's going to cause problems. So as American truck drivers, no matter who you are, if you're traveling in that area, going through those checkpoints, you know, on a regular basis, then you don't want this kind of stuff coming into that area, because then it's going to take longer for you, you know, and it, but be selfish about it. That's fine. You know, hey, it doesn't benefit me to have these people come over because it slows me down, because they're checking and they're going to be wanting to check me, and that slows me down. So that's the problem, you know? So that kind of thing is just, it's bad. And, we don't want, you know, first off, we don't want people to just be able to go in and out of countries, you know, especially when countries have poor, just, I don't know, lifestyles or essentials. You gotta, and a lot of these people coming in, you know, I mean, they, like I said, terrorism, they still got people trying to come in from other countries. You know, most of the people that cross the Mexican border, the border with the United States and Mexico, you know, they're not from Mexico. They're from other countries, and they're either from Asia or European countries. You know, they can get to Mexico. It's not that hard. And then they'll just work their way up and cross over illegally into the United States, you know? So if you're Cuban and you're out there in Cuba and you're trying to get to the United States, if you come on the boat or a raft 90 miles north to Florida, you'll get caught and you'll get sent back. But if you can make it down to Mexico and then work your way up to the border, then you're going to be just fine. You'll make it, right? So stupid. I don't know. I can dive into my opinion of it and how I think everything should be handled. But like I said, my opinion don't matter with all that. So I don't know how anybody would think of it. But I mean, I can throw it out to you that, I mean, you know, United States should be in charge of these countries, especially Mexico. You provide capitalism to these, anywhere that capitalism has been allowed to operate, it's been great. South American countries that have adopted capitalism as their main form of economy and has adopted democracy or representation government like we have here. And the other thing, what's really successful about the United States, and this is probably a common opinion, but not spoken enough. The best thing about the United States, it's decentralization of power, which means that the sheriff, okay, and the mayor of your town, they don't work for the president of the United States. They don't work for the governor, okay? The only rules that they have to follow are the rules set by the Constitution and set by the legislatures, right? But when it comes to making decisions of how you run things, as long as you don't break those rules, then you pretty much do what you want. So you don't have to do what the governor tells you. You don't have to do what the president tells you. And that's the best thing. In fact, it needs to be more that way. If anybody has an opinion about how we can solve terrorism, it's not going into Iraq or Afghanistan and putting in somebody that we can control in the top government. It's getting the people in the lower tribes to respect the rule of law and getting those tribes to respect that, hey, you know, don't, just because you live in these, you know, you live in these mountains and a company comes in and buys the property 10 miles away from you and starts blasting holes, you know, and you get pissed and now you want to go fly planes into buildings in New York. Don't, you know, that's not how it works. If you can get them to respect that's the rule of law is that, hey, go, there's a court, you can go fight it, whatever, or, you know, protest, whatever you want to do, but killing innocent people 10,000, you know, 5,000 miles away, that's not how it works. Until you get them to understand that, then nothing's going to change. But that's how it's the bottom up. That's how the rule of law is. People respect, you know, like down around here, you know, the president doesn't tell you to do right, to live life right. The sheriff does. The sheriff is the one saying, hey, act right, treat people decent, you know. And then their community leaders are the ones that get us to act right, to do good. You know, you got churches and schools and of course, parents, you know, teach your kids how to do right and don't worry about everybody else's kids. And people need to just take care of their own kids and take care of their own. You take care of your own and then it all works out. Okay. Individualism is the key. And I don't know if that made a lot of sense, but I don't know. I just think that everybody tries to say, well, let's go to Washington and let's fight for our rights, or let's elect one president. One person ain't going to change it. Ain't going to make anything better. One person ain't going to do it. Electing one senator or one congressman, and you know how it is with Congress. Nobody likes Congress, but everybody loves their congressperson. So it's like, I don't like Congress at all, but my congressman is the best. No, you got to throw that out. Okay. It's if Congress is bad, then everybody's bad. And that has nothing to do with, you know, your congressperson. It's your representative is just as bad as all the others. And if you don't believe that, then you're part of the problem. So, but it's the, how do you say that? But the bottom up thing is what I think. I think that if you went into these countries like Mexico, let's say that the federal government just took them over and then instituted, you know, if the Constitution is now covering the country of Mexico, it's part of the United States, you know, territory, whatever. You don't have to call it a state. You just say it's part of territory like Puerto Rico is, and the Constitution applies. Well, then you let the people, local people, elect their representatives, and those representatives elect a speaker, you know, and then you can have a federal election, select a president if you want, but that's not necessary. It's not necessary. Everybody thinks, oh, you got to have a president. No, you don't. You know, it's the representation, you know, and nothing might not get done by the representatives. That's fine. As long as there's rules, and those rules have to be followed, and that's the Constitution. So, but anyway, we're just wrapping things up here, and let's go to the lines, check things out, see what's going on. Hey, what's going on? Is this Greg?
Yes, it is. How you doing?
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm just wrapping things up here. We're having a good old time, and there was an article in the CDL Life that they found 90 illegal immigrants inside of a big rig at the Laredo border, and it's like the only way to solve it is just let's go conquer. Let's go take over Mexico and put the Constitution down there, and that way they won't be coming up here.
That's right. They catch them, they take them to court, they have their day in court, they slap them on the hand, they turn them loose, and they go right back and do it again. There isn't enough. They're not hard enough on these people doing that.
Right.
And so if they make the penalty a lot stronger on the ones smuggling them out of there, these drivers and these companies and stuff, you know, not only take it out on the driver, but do it on the company too.
Now this here,
the companies would start, you know, doing a hell of a lot more stringent background checks on their drivers, and what they do is just say, well, you can hold a steering wheel and, you know, your ass fits a seat, so yeah, you can drive for us.
Yeah, you know, just like it, this here, this trailer didn't even make it into the United States. They caught it at the Laredo border, like not even making it into the United States. So. But you're right. I mean, they all have to have operating authority to cross into the United States. If there's a truck and trailer sitting at the border trying to get in the United States, they've got a DOT number. So
right.
What you do is you make sure that DOT number just gets voided and will never be allowed to be used again.
Well, that vehicle should never make it back into the state. They just confiscate it. That'd be it. It's gone.
Yep.
They'll never get that one back.
Yep. Yep.
You know, a lot of these companies, you know, hell, it wouldn't take long. They wouldn't have no trucks.
Yeah, it's true. You know, and most of them are probably smaller outfits and all that, and that's fine too, because you still got to have equipment. You got to have equipment. You can't do all this without equipment. So, yep. But it's never going to stop. You know, just like we're saying about being hard on the trucking companies to stop illegal immigration like this. Well, the government, our government, we're a bunch of idiots electing these assholes that keep giving money to, like, you know, Guatemala and El Salvador. We need money for economic development. When they give them money, and you know what that money does, all that money does is go enrich all of those drug lords down there and all of those politicians down there. They don't actually give it to the people to make life better down there. So why are we even doing that? You know, just like I said before, I don't know if you heard me or not, but it's capitalism. You allow capitalism to thrive in any area, the people in that area are going to do better.
Exactly.
Yep.
I just realized we was out, and her and I went out today, and we had all the grass mowed, so we got all the grass cut, and I went over and straightened the trunk up a little bit just to get some stuff done around here, around the house here, you know, because all the rain, that's all it's done, the rain here last week off and on.
Oh, okay.
So we went and got that done, then we went out this evening, was walking around the property, looking at the property boundaries and everything, and a bunch of trees I need to get cut, and I was out there, and we just walked back in the house. She said, "Oh, you know what? Show's on." I said, "Oh, man, I'm running late. I got to call in, see how he's doing tonight."
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what, today I had to set an alarm because I went outside today, because today down here it was nice and sunny and beautiful, and so I went outside, and I had to set an alarm because I totally lost track of time, and good thing I set the alarm and told me to get my butt inside and get on the radio. What do you call it? I got a little sun, actually. I think YouTube video is going to show my bald head being a little red, so I don't know how that's going to turn out with all the HD high definition they got going on. But yesterday and this morning, I did a lot of riding. We rode out to Kingsville, which is about 40 miles out. This morning we rode out, a bunch of us, about eight bikes. Rode out and had breakfast in Kingsville, and then rode back into Corpus, and then it started sprinkling a little bit, got caught in the rain a little bit, had to come home and change my clothes. But it quit.
I said, good thing he's still got that Honda Shadow. I told her, I said, he keeps hanging around down there at that Harley shop. I said, he's going to need it.
Yeah.
And like I told him, it's pretty bad when my Vulcan's louder than his Harley.
Yeah.
How you like the new pipes?
Yeah, they do good. They're doing good so far. I really like them. They sound good. They're getting down the road good. And like I said, when I was riding, you know, it's one of those things where, I had that Shadow for a long time, and I wasn't used to it. But, like, you're driving down the road, and it's a little four-lane road, and there's a car in front of you, and there's a car to the side of you, and they're kind of staggered a little bit, but they're kind of just in the way, and I just gunned it, and, you know. And the cool thing about that Harley, you just hit the buttons on the turn signals. They just go on and off with ease. You know, the Honda, they stuck a little bit. You had to wiggle the switch. With that Harley, you just hit that button and change them lanes and go.
You know that on a Harley, they will cancel out. If you make a hard turn, like a hard left, you know, make a left turn or a right turn, hard turn, the bike levels out. Now they're on some kind of a little, like a mercury switch, whatever, like a mercury switch or whatever, they'll cancel theirself out.
Yep. Even if you make a quick lane change, like you said, if you lean, you know, if all you're doing is changing lanes and you lean hard enough to make that lane change, it'll cancel out when you straighten back up. Yep.
Right. Yeah. They got some kind of a little mercury switch or something on them. I don't know that. They're nice.
Yeah. No. It's
mine. Does.
Yeah. It's nice. Yeah. Yep.
But it's nice.
Yep.
They're both on opposite sides of the handlebar. So you got your right on your right, your left on your left. Where a lot of them just got, you know, the one switch push it to the right or push to the left.
Good thing they did that. I tell you what, truck drivers need that. We need like a switch on the right side of the steering wheel and a switch on the left side of the steering wheel.
it really wouldn't make any difference because they wouldn't use it anyhow. So. Hey, did that other little ass clown call in yet? I thought Tess said he was on. She seen where he was on the line, but did he ever get in yet?
Yeah. Let's see what he's talking about. He's probably out there racing cars. Let's see.
Hey, probably out there beating. Yeah, he probably beat his lips about something.
I'm not beating my lips about anything. I had to put two skiers on. I just when I called in, I just got done. I've been here 7.5 fucking hours.
There you go.
Hey. Let's keep public it clean.
Look. Hey, this is Red Mechanized Radio. Whatever happened
there. You're getting as bad as Taylor Barker on here. You need to clean it up, mister.
I don't think so. Well, anyway, I'm gonna finish up the show here, and then I'm gonna take about a 2 or 3 hour nap. Then I'm gonna go again. I'm gonna drive tonight.
There you go.
You're gonna work at night.
Yeah, I sat all day, so my batteries are charged up. I can drive tonight.
I was gonna say, what do you do? Get a big solar panel to put on top of that truck, keep your batteries charged up to drive at night.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's funny.
Are you sure your headlights work?
Yeah, they work. I checked them.
Time to do what?
I checked them.
Oh.
They work.
Oh, okay.
I think it's time for you to go back to work.
Yeah, I'm tomorrow morning. Depending on if I got a job or not, I don't know. I ain't heard anything. I'm not going to go into that deal. I'm not going to go into that deal, but I did what I said I had to do with them bills. So I got it done, and we sent it in, and I haven't heard anything else, so I'm going to leave it at that because I'm not going to corrupt anybody and teach anybody my bad habits, so I'll just leave it alone. That thing right there that don't go.
I don't know why you brought it up on the radio show.
I just said, do as I say, not as I do.
Well, take notes, Ed. Take notes.
Yep, I'm taking them.
All I'm saying is we got her done. Is that what Larry Cable guy says? Get her done? Well, we got her done.
Yep.
But...
Hey, Robbie, earlier I had some music playing. Could you hear all the music pretty good?
Yeah.
Okay, because some of the music's just playing through a speaker that's on the microphone because it's not hooked up into the website, so I was just making sure. So, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed a couple of times when you'd be talking, the music was louder than what you was. It was kind of hard to hear you.
Yeah.
Not today. In future shows or past shows,
yeah.
You know.
I learned that too. So
earlier this week on your YouTube videos, I was listening to a couple of those, and your voice is fine, but like if me and Greg are on, our voices are really low. I don't know if you can up the volume when you go to edit them.
What are you talking about?
Down on purpose.
Huh?
Are you talking about the YouTube videos?
Yes.
Yeah. The problem with that is because the audio is recorded off the microphone. So like you're coming out of the speaker into the microphone. I don't have a way to link what's coming out in directly into the recording. So Taylor said he was going to send me a soundboard, but I may just end up trying to work on my own to where I can create my own soundboard. Because then that way I can mix everything together on my own to record it for my future use.
Right.
So yeah. But yeah, that's the whole goal. So. But yeah, it looks like we're coming to the end of the hour. So I mean, we're kind of like wrapping all things up here. I think is a good way to do it. What do you guys think?
That sounds good. I just wanted to call in and touch base because, like I said, I almost screwed up missing another show tonight. So, but want to get Tim to set it up here within the next couple weeks here. I mean, we got time. But get with, with us founders, me and you and her and Robbie, and go over what you and I talked about. Her and I went over it the other day. I talked to her, told her me and you had our 6 or 7 hour conversation the other night.
Yeah.
I said we covered a lot of stuff, from bikes to the group. So I said we come up with some ideas of what we're going to do, you know, and everything. And I went over a little bit with Robbie, but we need to have a meeting with just the four of us or whatever and go over everything. So see, make sure everybody's in full agreement with it and everything before and then get started on everything. Like you said, we need to get some, you know, some of our stock back up and everything and figure out what we want to do and get it done.
Yep. Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. Look forward to doing that.
I'm getting ready to get started on this trailer. We got to start getting it all done, and so we can get all the product and everything put back in there and get it organized. So if things do break loose down there this year, and they don't lock us down again, because they're trying.
Yep, you're right.
I really think they're going to try to shut everything down again this year. So if they do, it's over. And it's, you know, I don't know.
Hmm. Yep.
So
yep.
We'll see what happens.
Yep. Well, we just keep
they
on keeping on. That's what we do.
Truck show outside. They should just put the truck show outside. And Walcott, I went by when they had the jamboree last weekend. It was packed in there. I didn't stop, but it was going on.
See, you should have stopped. You could have been in there representing. You just did a flyby.
You should have stopped.
I was on a mission. I was going somewhere.
Yeah, okay. You was on a mission. All right, straight to the racetrack.
That's right. There was no racing this weekend. It's kind of bummer.
Oh. Where are you going now? You headed home?
No, I'm going to Maryland. I unload Tuesday morning.
Oh, that's right. You're going over there. Huh. All right, well, listen, it's time for Ed to wrap it up, so we're going to let him slide on out and thank our sponsors and everything and for everything that they do for us. And I will get with you guys this week, and we'll give us a call, give me a call, whatever, and we'll discuss it later on.
Good deal.
All right.
Hey, Ed, good talking to you.
You
good
too.
Good show what I caught, Robbie. You take care. Be careful coming across, and I'll talk to you sometime, probably either tomorrow or whenever. Give me a call.
Whenever.
All right. All right, take care.
All right, now. Yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up here. This is Redneck and I's Radio. Like I said, we're live every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. If you want to be listening in, that's fine. If you want to be part of the conversation, just hit 1 on the telephone. You can just listen along there going down the highway. No big deal. Don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. We got links to our Facebook page, Twitter account, Instagram, all that good stuff. And keep track of when we're going to be at the truck show. And we always try to keep everybody up to date of when those truck shows are coming around. Don't forget to go over and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really appreciate everybody doing that. And if you could, share, subscribe, like, you know, comment, let us know how we're doing. We appreciate everything you guys are doing for us out there to get Redneck and Eyes out there. So until next time, just take it easy. Redneck and Eyes Radio. All right. We'll see you later.
Thank you.